In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Hathor, and as we always notice that the first 2 weeks in the month of Hathor, they coincide with the time and the season of seeding in Egypt. That's why the church arranged that these 2 weeks, the reading is repeated, the same parable, the parable of the sower. And the Lord is speaking of the good ground. He says about it, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the Lord here details for us the process, how a good ground would bear fruit. And in this process, we can identify three main steps. The first one is hearing with a noble heart. And here, if you notice, the Lord is not saying hearing with ears, because this is something that we can all do. We all can listen and hear people speaking. But hearing with heart has a different meaning. And the second step in the process is to keep it. After we hear the word of God, we keep it, meaning the people who are likened to the good ground, they process this word differently. And the third step that is necessary for anyone to bear fruit is patience, as he said at the conclusion of his interpretation of the parable. Let us reflect on these three steps on how for us to be good ground bearing fruits acceptable before the Lord. The first process is hearing with a noble heart. How anyone listen with his heart? This is shown in three main things: eagerness, simplicity, and humility. This eagerness is shown in how we want to learn. Many of us come to the church on Sunday, and maybe we don't miss any Sunday. We keep it as something that we want to observe, and we do it with diligence. Yes, we come, but how each one of us is listening? The eagerness in us to learn the message that we are going to take today in order for us to apply when we go back home, what we are going to grasp and process and apply on our lives. This is what makes the difference between all of us. We all listen with our ears, but very few of us listen with a noble and a good heart. The eagerness shown in how we want to learn. I like this saying by John Maxwell, the one who spoke a great deal about leadership. He says, as long as a person does not know what he doesn't know, he is not going to grow. Some people are content with what they know and what they do not know. They feel okay with it, that I am lacking knowledge about God and about the scripture. They feel like it's okay. God is the God of hearts, and I love God with my heart, and I conclude all of the religion in this statement. I love God, and God loves me, and that's it. If we just keep things like this, we cannot grow. We cannot change. If we are content with what we do not know, that it's okay that we do not know it, we cannot change and grow. This is the eagerness. I want to know more, and I want to apply what I know. And the second step, in order for us to be able to listen with a noble heart, is in the simplicity of receiving the word of God, accepting God's word. Those people, their hearts have no bias. They listen and accept whatever God is saying. This is different than when we listen and we start criticizing the word of God. How did this apply? Is what Abuna said today really is from the Bible, or this is his understanding of things? Was what we read today something applies on us, or just apply on the Jews 2,000 years ago? When we go into this, we will always miss the point. We will always look to the word of God from above in a critical way, and then we are going to filter it. I like this, I don't like that, I can't abide to this, this one doesn't apply on me. If we do this, we are not listening with a noble heart. This simplicity that makes us to accept. If this is what God said, then this is what He said. Every single word in the scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit applies on us at all times. Sometimes we refuse that we accept the word of God with a simple heart, and then we will never be able to benefit from it. So listening of a simple heart, we said in three things: eagerness, simplicity, and the third one, listening with humility. Humility that allows us to be subject to the word of God. Samuel, the prophet, says this to Saul, the king, about humility in accepting the command. He said to him, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Obedience. In order to obey, we have to be humble. There is no other way. I will subject myself to whatever I am listening to. I will always come under the command and say that whatever God tells, I am willing to do it. In the story of Saint John the Short, when he was instructed to go and saw the staff of his master in the monastery, he didn't process this in the way that what this man is telling me. I think he has lost his mind because he's too old to ask me to take a staff and plant it. Doesn't make sense. I'll just take the staff and go away and throw it away and come back and say, "I did what you wanted from me." But the man applied what his master commanded him. At the end, this staff blossomed and he was able to reap fruits from it, not because it can happen, but because of his obedience. So this is what is meant when the Lord said, listening with a noble heart, with eagerness to learn, with simplicity in understanding, and with humility, being able to subject ourselves to the word of God. Coming to the second point, processing the word of God, keeping it. The Lord said about the first kind of the people, ground, is like the wayside. Meaning, before they leave the church, everything is done. We forgot it. It's exactly when we ask the children, "What did you learn today from Sunday school?" The typical answer is, "I don't remember. I don't know." Sometimes, actually, we laugh at it and we say this to children, like they go there with absent-minded. But I am afraid that maybe us, we leave the church, and if we are asked it, "What was the reading today?" we can say the same answer. Nothing was processed. The word came and was taken away at the door of the church. What does it mean to keep the word of God? First of all, the first step in the process is to understand it, to be keen enough to know what it does it mean. In the Gospel of St. Mark, we hear this about the Lord. "But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." It was for him something important that the people understand. And my brethren, I admit, maybe actually, I am guilty of not explaining many things while we read it. And I know that it is difficult to understand. I am sure that during the time of the Great Fast, for example, when all of these prophecies are read, very few people understand what the reader is saying. But we are content to sit at the church and just nod our heads and maybe meditate on things outside. It's my fault, because it is my responsibility to do it, to explain it to the people. But sometimes we let this go. We just hear it, وخلاص. Whatever is said is said. This is the word of God, and that's enough for us. To process the word of God, we have to make sure that we understand it. What did he mean when he said that? The second step in the process is self-examination in the light of the word of God. How this applies on me? Where I am from what is said? If this happened truly with a sincere heart, we will find ourselves, we feel the misery of the status that we are at. By then, we will be overwhelmed how far we are from the word of God. And then it will be the time for true repentance. King David says to God this about self-examination and searching his heart. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." To process the word of God, meaning after I hear it and I understand it, then I examine myself, where I am from this. How much did I go in this? How much I'm applying in this? If just I hear it وخلاص كده that's it, then this is not how we keep the word of God and then it can bring fruits and nuts. The third step in the process of keeping the word of God is that the word of God then cleanses the heart from the weeds of the old life. I accept it, I keep it, I understand it, I apply it on myself, then I cannot go back and live in the same way. There is no way I can keep light and darkness in the same place. The word of God will make my life actually very difficult because simply I cannot have both at the same place. I will lose sleep by night because the way I'm living cannot make me content and I live in peace. The Lord said to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you, blocking out the weed because of the word of God. This is wrong, that's it." I remember a story I read about Abuna Yusuf Asad, that one time he like learned that there is in the neighborhood around the church a lady who worked as a belly dancer and she was Christian. And then he thought of going to visit her. He went to her house and he knocked the door and one of her assistants opened to him and he brought him in. And then this lady, she received Abuna in a way that's mocking him. What are you doing here? He said, "I came to you in order to read for you the Bible and just come to know you." So the lady mocking the Abuna, she brought cards and started like playing with them while he is reading. He kept on reading and she gave him like as if I'm not listening to what you say. And then at the end, he asked it to pray, to leave. At the door, she told him, "You may come again." So he took this and another visit, he came and he talked with her. And then again, this is repeated, "Come and talk to me again." So one time she told him, "Is there any way for me to repent?" And he said to her, "Yes, sure. The first step, you have to get rid of this old life if you want to walk with God." She told him, "Okay, I will come with you to the church and I have a donation to give it to the church." Abuna didn't want to comment on it. She brought all of her jewelry, the things that she acquired from her previous life, she put them in a bag and she went with Abuna in his car to the church. In the way she asked him, "Abuna, will you accept my donation?" He said to her, "To be honest with you, I can't. This money that you acquired with a prodigal life, I cannot put it in the church." While walking on the way, driving her to the church, she said to him, "Abuna, can you stop here?" And she asked him to open the window of the car. And they were over a bridge. And this woman took her bag and threw it in the river, just like that, with all of the money in it. Abuna, of course, was surprised at his act. But this is exactly what the word of God would do to a person who has this noble heart, who is willing to change, is taking the step that he needs to do. If I am to walk with God, I cannot just live with both. I cannot satisfy God while I am keeping this money that I acquired in a prodigal level. In the same way, Zacchaeus, when the Lord entered to his house, it was impossible for him to keep the Lord and keep the money. "I can't. I'm going to expel it out." So in the process of keeping the word of God, first we have to understand it. Secondly, we have to examine ourselves accordingly. The third one is that the word of God cleanses us, cleanses our heart from the weeds of the old life. The fourth step in keeping the word of God is then the phase when man is governed by the word of God. Is governed means the word of God dictates my life, tells me what to do and what not to do. Saint Anthony, before he becomes a monk, he came to the church, 18 years old person. In his mind, whatever said, I'm going to apply. This is how I come. This is the attitude. And he heard that if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have. Immediately, the word of God dictated for him what to do. And he went and he sold everything. At that time, obeying the word of God becomes a delight of the soul. I want to know more because I want to apply more. And the heart is united in the fear of God. So the first step for a good ground to bear fruit is is that we listen with a noble heart, secondly, to keep it. The third one is patience. There is no overnight fruit. Let me ask all of you, did it ever happen that you bring a soil and you put seeds in it and the next day you find fruits? It's only happened in the story of Jack and the beans. That's all. But doesn't happen in true life. Unfortunately, some of us still wants to have it this way. I just want to pray today and tomorrow I love God with all my heart. And I feel excited about the church all times. That's why you find people coming and saying, you know, I am bored. Why? Simply because I cannot maintain things. The MCP was something I'm very excited about it. And after like a couple of years now, you find people say, ah, it's boring. This thing that the people say about boring is a dream of other people in other churches around us. But meanwhile, it is the attitude that I want to bear fruits immediately. I want something that clicks like this. This is not the way. The Lord said they bear fruits with patience. Patience. This takes time. Again, I like this guy, John Maxwell, and again, I quote him speaking about patience. He says, acquiring the right attitude, every successful person is someone who failed yet never regarded himself as a failure. This is the right attitude that needs patience when we experience many failures along the way. It will have nothing wrong with it. Not because you failed before with God, this means that you will live as a failure. Not because you still defeated before certain sins and lusts, this means that you are done. Things need patience. In our fight, take time. At the end, you will be victorious. Because the one who is with you, no one is like him. Saint Paul said to the Galatians about this virtue of patience, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us not grow weary. Let us do what is right and keep doing it until we bear fruits. When we have this patience, failure is not going to stop us. Failure should not be seen as temporary. Should be seen as temporary. If you failed, this is for some time. This will not continue to the end. And an opportunity to learn how to grow stronger in the love of God. All of your negative experiences before, all of the attempts that you tried before didn't work, make it as a step to push you again forward with God, with patience. And then we have many examples of many of the saints whom we honor and we cherish their biography and their feasts. Saint John the Beloved, the man who spoke about love the most. At the beginning of his ministry, he came to the Lord saying, can you please allow us to bring fire from above to consume the people of Samaria? What do you call this? This is failing. He couldn't be able to tolerate the rejection of those people. Saint Peter and him denying Christ. This was again another failure. Saint Paul and his previous life at the beginning as Saul. Saint Thomas and his doubt. But all of those people did not ever regard themselves as failures because they failed once. With patience, they were able to change and to come to bear fruits as we all can see and we all actually learn from their example. So today the message for all of us, if you want to be a good ground to bear fruits, keep the process in mind. Listen with a noble heart. Keep the word of God in your heart. At the end, be patient. At the end, definitely, we will all be able to bear fruits if we go in the process as the Lord detailed it for us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.